Well, good morning, everyone. And happy Mother's Day to the mothers. You know, and Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy, he says, just read it. You don't really have to go there because I'm not going to stay there. He says, starting in chapter 3, verse 15, he says, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works." You know, there's a couple things that I want to bring forth today. One is the act of believing God. Faith is something we choose. I'm pretty certain that it is common amongst us to look at it as something that's going to happen, that we're going to feel, that we're going to experience, and then we're going to just be there. But that isn't the way it is. It is God has put into our hands. He has made the way for us fully to be in Him, to be His children, to know Him, to do His will, to be His servants. Everything. What does it say in Philippians? "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." Well, what are those all things? Is it my little list of to-dos? Is it how I perceive God's will? Or is it the ability to do His will in accordance with His mind and not my own, which is a simple choice to believe Him? And yes and amen. It has nothing to do with how I feel, how I look, how I am. Nothing. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable, it says. Of course, you got a little fan going here, so. For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. You know, I've been reading in the Old Testament, and we all know the story of the deliverance of the children of Israel from Egypt. We all know that but two of them died without entering in. Not all died in unbelief, because Moses died in faith. Aaron died in faith. But there were only two that entered in. And every other adult who exited by the mighty power and testimony and proof of God did not believe God. But the thing that's interesting, and I don't know if you really know this, is in the desert, they did what Moses said. They actually built the tabernacle exactly as God had given it to Moses, and Moses spoke it to them. They did that. And unbelieving people who did not believe God to enter in the promised land obeyed in that. They could look at themselves and see that they had done what God had said, right? And yet they died in unbelief. And I bring it up because it was a right thing to have done that which God said. It is a right thing that we do that, and we must. But if we don't do it by faith, and if we don't do all of it by faith, including entering in, and you don't think it looked big and hard to them to know what was in that land, but you see, God had given it to them. But they didn't trust Him to receive it. Now, God has given unto us the power to become the sons of God. But we don't receive it in our natural man. It is a choice we make by faith, with our actual will. to believe God and Him over absolutely everything else. And out of that, when we obey, out of that, when we submit all things and truly trust in Him, we will enter in. If we don't do that, then the scripture that was given unto us to profit us has not, we have not been profited by it. There is no guarantee because you're sitting here or that I'm standing here that we're entering in. There is nothing in the word that says that's true. Not one thing that says, oh, we're entering in. Oh, we're going to end up with the Lord in heaven. No, but what it does say is that we can. And He has, through the blood of the Lamb, made us meet to be partakers. He has made me acceptable. Him. I either stand in His acceptance or I don't. I either move forward because He has done it or I don't. And if I don't, I can have all manner of reasons. Well, gosh, my life is hard. Well, gosh, you don't know what I have to put up with. Oh, gosh, you this, that, or the other flippin' lie. It is a simple choice. A choice. He says He'll give us both the will. Do you have the will to serve God? Then what stops you? Unbelief. Unbelief in the sufficiency. Unbelief of the fact that He has accepted you. Doesn't mean you're acceptable. Do you think you're acceptable? Are you all about how I'm something? Meaning you. I mean, sometimes I want to be something too, but unfortunately, or fortunately, I'm not. Fortunately. I know that Paul and Phil stand up here every Sunday knowing the sufficiency of Jesus Christ, and it's not about them. Do you all know that? Do you all get that? Do you get that's why they're here? It's because they walk in Him? You might look at their flesh and think, how the heck do they stand there? Because it has nothing to do with the flesh. Does your flesh look better than mine? I mean, what do I know? Maybe. What are we about and what do we believe and what are we going to choose? And if we choose Him, you know what we are then? We're servants. We're servants of God. And what does He say? He says He'll take care of everything. Do we believe that? Or do we look at all that we think our day should have in it and all its provision and then judge God because it isn't in agreement with what we have? We cannot serve God if we have our own outline of what our life should be and what our life should hold and what we're supposed to be. We cannot do it. And you know what? If we don't repent of that, we didn't learn. And the scripture that was there so that we could see the natural man, we could see where we are going to go except for that we fight with all our might otherwise. I listened to Paul last week, and I know I'm not going to, well, I won't say that, but it is an amazing thing because he said at the end, you know, we all know the story of David. Every saint of God has the same story. They're sinners who received the mercy and forgiveness of God. We happen to know some of David's sin. We happen to know some of other people's sin. But it's the same story for absolutely every child of God. The same story. Nobody is exempt from it. And the thing that was so amazing about what Paul said, and I don't know if people heard it, but you know, David, God forgave David. And you know what David did with that forgiveness? He received it. But he didn't receive it just to be forgiven, and aren't I special? He received it and then stood and continued to serve God. That's called faith. That's called, I mean, giving testimony to the mercy of God. Because all those who loved God and loved, were given the love of the truth, they rejoiced with David, you see. They rejoiced with David. But David stood up and he served a people. As a sinner, made meet to be a partaker of God by the blood of the Lamb. And I'm here to tell you that when Jesus hung on the cross and before he went to that cross, he knew there was a David and he knew there was an Abraham and he knew there was an Isaac who had trusted him to do just that. That is remarkable to me. But he went to the cross knowing that there were a people who had died, believing he would do that for them, understanding the trauma of doing that for them, understanding the depth of their sin, and that he was going to hang on a cross and pay the full price for it, and then go to hell, but then rise again. They actually trusted him for that. And when he went to that cross, he couldn't not, because of what they had done. You know, Abraham, we know the children of Israel entered into a natural land, and rightly so. The Bible says that Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. Is that what we're looking for? It's got to be what we're looking for if we want to end up there. We can come here all we want. Doesn't mean a dang thing.
Most of us don't take care of our relationship with the Lord. Most of us punch the clock at church and then phone the rest of it away, phone it in. Not giving attention with the details of the things that, not searching out the things that please the Lord. We talk about on Sunday out of 1 Corinthians 13, talk about love. We have testimony. John 3:17 and following about, let me go there. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come to the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. Were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. We don't like the light. Our deeds are evil. We give heed to evil heart of unbelief. When we preach out of 1 Corinthians 13 up here, then we get given opportunities to love. And then we start phoning into relationship with the Lord again. It's like he wasn't all that serious after all. That was Sunday, you know. And we showed up for him. First John chapter 1, verse 8. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, Which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even till now. What sort of love are we talking about here? We're talking about a preference. Out of 1 Corinthians 13, when it's talking about agape love, somebody who is loving, preferring the brethren, is going to be ministering, taking care of the needs of the brethren. You know, and letting the little irritations roll off the back. I can see when this is going on in the body, and I can see when it's not. And it has not been going on in this body. Now, either you believe the word or you don't believe the word. But nowhere in here is there license to use our positions as ministers to lord over those we're supposed to be ministering to. You cannot operate in the lowliness of humility, low self-esteem, if you will. Lowliness of mind, Paul calls it, regarding others as better than yourself, and lord your position over somebody else. People around here are not loving one another. They're not ministering to one another. They're not praying for one another. They're not speaking to one another in truth and singing psalms and spiritual psalms, songs, and following the instruction of Paul. We've spent a great amount of time talking about these things. Talking about how the love of God manifests itself. I will say, without going into great detail, that what's been going on this property over the last week or 10 days has made it a festering sore. And the Lord is not pleased. If you believe this word, you do it. Or, as Robin was up here saying, your unbelief will be made manifest. You either choose to believe and put off the unbelief, Or the Lord's the Lord has nothing to do with you. You have nothing to do with Him. You're not going to be obedient, not going to love one another. Even when it's inconvenient. You know, I want to stand up here. I want to talk about how good the Lord is. I want people to have a testimony of how good He's been to them. I want them to be operating in the same mind. Receiving of the same Spirit. Partaking of the... the whole blessing of a relationship with the Father that was purchased by Jesus Christ. We are bought with a price. He owns us. Yet, for some reason, he still gives us a freedom of choice. I don't know why. My choices have not been good ones. Left to my own accord, I would have gone into self-destruct mode and busted hell wide open. That's what I deserved. I still do. The only thing I don't deserve is the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, but he has given it to me anyway. When you stop seeking him and his righteousness and trusting him for everything else, you're not abiding in the body. If you're not abiding in the body, your branch is withering and not producing fruit, what happens to the branch? You want to get cut off? I don't want any of y'all to get cut off. I don't want to be cut off. God has a perfect right to do that. Wait. One more thing in John, 1 John 2. Six. He that saith he abideth in him ought also to walk even as he walked. Believe me, when those who have the Spirit of God can tell, when those who say they abide in him are not. Because their actions don't even resemble the way Jesus was. The motives don't resemble his. Their faithfulness to proclaim the word, to be provoking one another to love and good works. Exhorting one another, to loving one another, lifting them up in prayer, to seeing to it that the revelation that the children are getting from them is the pure revelation of the Father and of Jesus Christ and not of a selfish little prick. That covers the father's part in this, but this is Mother's Day. Mothers have a role too. To the degree the parents don't have self-control, what is it, incontinence we were talking about? The children don't have self-control. Your children are learning from you. You have a ministry if you have children. If you're a man and you have a wife, you have a ministry. If you're a wife and you have children, you have a ministry. Your faithfulness in standing in that ministry is going to be apparent to those who, Romans chapter 13 would say, have rule over you. It's time to be. We need to be acting like we're serious about our belief in the Lord and the Word. Where am I going next? Let's go to Matthew 7. There was so many scriptures. Lord, help me with where to go. Judge not, that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. And that's a real flowery way of saying you really don't want what you deserve. And if you're not ministering in love and grace and mercy, why would you expect to receive the ministry of love and grace and mercy? That's like, you know, in the Lord's Prayer, which I believe is what they call the Lord's Prayer, back in 6. And I just have it close by, so I'm going to look at it. But forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Most of us don't really want to be forgiven like we forgive, because we suck at it. And why beholdest thou the mote that's in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? For how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dog. Well, I want to stop there at 5. Going through the motions is hypocrisy. It's unbelief. And it's ungodly. It puts you back in league with the flesh. The flesh that cannot and can never please God. Can't do it. Back to offering the sacrifice of Cain. Offering a cursed thing to the Lord and expecting to receive from the Lord for it. Doesn't work that way. Listen, I love to talk about how good the Lord is, about how righteous His judgments are, about how He administers to people in need of Him, an abundance of Himself to change lives, to restore loss, to bring reconciliation above and beyond that which we could ask or think. That's what I want to talk about. And I want people around me who want to stand in that and receive that. There's plenty enough to occupy ourselves with how the Lord's being good to us today without having to sit around and feel sorry for ourselves about how we're not getting what we deserve. I think my tongue's bleeding. Every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. Boy, I really skipped a lot. Down to verse 17. But a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Are you a good tree? Or are you a corrupt tree? what happens to the corrupt tree. Hewn down, cast in fire. That's right. I don't want to see us challenge the Lord's patience anymore. I want us to be successful. I want us to be profitable. I want us to have something to show new people that makes us different than everybody else out there. If we can't love each other, we can't love anybody else that comes in here. Can't do it. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Out of the abundance of the heart, we speak all kinds of nasty stuff to one another. That stuff's got to stop. If we can't love people we can see, how can we love people we haven't met yet? How can we love Jesus whom we have not seen? I don't know, folks. It's my prayer that everybody here will get down on their knees and ask the Lord to search their hearts and accept their repentance. We sit here 1 minute, we're testifying about how abundant the Lord's grace was to me, and then we turn around and don't extend it to somebody else. I had a need to get people's attention, be the center of attention as a kid, and as an adult, I actually fancied myself to have rather a rather crisp, sarcastic wit. But all I was really doing was dropping hints to people about how unhappy I was and expecting them to pick it up and then do something for me. So I spent a lot of time with opportunity to drop sarcastic hints and just assumed that I was too intellectual a hint for them to get. When actually I was just very unpleasant to be around. Nobody wanted to be around me. I wonder why. I had actually caught myself at the conference out there. I remember if it was the last one or the one before in Texas, saying to people how uncomfortable I was. And the Lord kind of tapped me on the shoulder and reminded me in all the ways Davy had gone out of his way to see to it that I had been made comfortable. And I had to repent. I had to go apologize to Davy. I couldn't believe I had been doing that to him. I don't have time for me to go through the long list, but he went out of his way to take care of me. He loved me when I was unlovable. He was a neighbor to me. There's a lot of people in this room can say the same, have the same testimony of Davy. So y'all know what I'm talking about. Every one of you that's in here is in here ultimately still because he was good to me. Except for Robin. But he was good to Robin as well. And Karen. But she's here because Davy was good to somebody. And same with James and Rose. There's a whole lot of it going around. There's a whole lot of it to spread around. But you know, one of the ways in which the Lord works in ways that are amazing, not mysterious, they're amazing. And I get this great sense of isolation when there's upset within the body. I get this feeling of standing alone every time there's something amiss. That's a lonely place to be. But I don't want y'all to get it right because I'm lonely. I want y'all to get it right because you love the Lord. And you want to please Him. If I get that sense, Lord, help us. How much of that have we put on Davy over the years? And other people that are over us. Don't feel sorry for me. Love the Lord. Believe His word. Sow His seed. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and let Him take care of the rest. He wants to be good to you.